Glad you're here. It's been now 10 weeks ago that Rick kicked us off with this series on taking a walk or following Jesus. Today we're going to conclude this this series, in kind of a wrap up and a challenge to us. We looked at we looked at 8 different things that groups across 17 denominations looked at and said these are the things that the common things that people who are truly following Jesus are pursuing in their lives. These are traits that they have. One is they have they're engaged in the Bible in some way. They're reading, they're studying the Bible. Two, they're denying self and obeying God. Three, they're sharing, serving God and others. Yeah, they're doing good works. Four, they're sharing Christ with other people in their lives. Five, they're exercising their faith in some way. There's a stretch there. Six, they're actively seeking God. They're engaged in following after Him. Remember that book years ago, God Chasers. Seven, they're building relationships with people and with the people of God. It's a both and in their life. And the last thing we shared last week was there's transparency in their lives. Transparency. Now, today we're going to wrap it up with the theme, just taking a walk or following Jesus. And I want to read this passage, a lot of classic passage. We've already referred to this passage several times in the series. It's found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 28. I'll tell you what precedes it. What precedes it is Peter's great confession. When Christ asked that question, who do men say that I am? And Peter answers, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And then we see that Jesus transitions, or Matthew transitions from that in his record, his gospel of Jesus foretelling his death. And then he issues into this statement about discipleship. So, let me read it to you. This is from New American Standard. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Lord, we pray that you will unveil this passage to us today and you'll speak clearly to us. Lord, I pray you remove all the barriers that would prevent us from hearing your voice. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. First point, if you're going to move from just taking a walk, which you could call that the religious thing. We got plenty of religious people in America, don't we? Americans love religion. Hollywood loves religion. But what we're talking about is following Jesus. It's a big difference. So if you're going to move from just taking a walk to seriously becoming a Christ follower, a Jesus follower, we first have to realize it is our own decision. Jesus says, whoever wishes to save his life. It says in verse 24, if anyone wishes to come after me. It's your decision. Not a decision that someone else can make for you. How many of you as parents have made a decision for your children that it's a good idea for them to bathe each day and wash and brush their teeth? You made that decision. The fact that you make that decision for them, what happens when they go to church camp? They bring home the little suitcase, unless they're a boy, because when the boys go to camp, they immediately open their suitcase, their bag, and they dump it all on the floor. The girls at least keep it in the suitcase. I'm just going to take your word for that. And one mother, she said, she opened the kid's, when she picked the kid up for camp, she opened his suitcase. Man, everything is still folded in here. Because you're wearing the same clothes that you were wearing when you left. Now, I'm looking at some of you that have done that. That we had in church camp, and you're adults now. I remember. Should I mention your name? And, you know, you made the decision. Now you take a bath each day. You brush your teeth. That soap never hit them while they were at camp, unless accidentally. They made their choice. Their choice. Thank God for there was plenty of chlorine in the pool because it disinfected them. You at least had that going for you. But you see, we make our own choices and we stick by them. Now, we have a real groupthink mentality in our culture right now. It's probably more prevalent than it's ever been in our society. Where you've got to come in agreement with what the group is saying that you should do. A lot of group type behavior where people are failing to think for themselves. Failing to look at and say, you know, I really need to make a good decision, about this. What's going on? But let me say to you, you're still making a decision. You're making a decision to let the group control your life. So, first and foremost, if you're going to follow Jesus, you got to remember, it's on you. Nobody else can make that decision for you. Nobody else can come and operate the little marionette strings in your life. It's you. It's on you. Secondly, you have two choices. You live once, die twice. You die once and live twice. Which will it be? What in the world does he mean by that? I'll tell you. It's what this passage is all about following Jesus. You see, he says there, if a person comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Passage is all about death. You see, most of the world will live once. They will have been born into this world, given this life. And you look at this life, I mean, the perfection of a human body and all the things that have to work together, that God breathed into this set of chemicals, these substances, and made us a living being. Imagine that. That we come alive. That is a fantastic idea. A very non-evolutionary idea. A very creation idea. That God does it. And we live once. But you see, we're all going to die. Scripture says that. We're going to die. But we get to decide whether or not we die once or die twice. The only way you can not die both physically and spiritually, is for you to come alive spiritually. You remember when Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, and he's asking him these questions, and Jesus says to him, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. And he's trying to wrap his mind around this idea of being born again. He's talking about a second birth. Jimmy Carter did one of the most famous interviews ever been done by any president in the history of our country. A Playboy interviewed him, and that's where he introduced the whole country to this term, being born again. Born again. He talked about that, being born again. You see, it's possible for us because what Jesus has done for us on the cross and through His resurrection, that we can have new life. So, we can live twice. Not only live physically, but live spiritually. So, we've got a choice. Which will it be? You're just going to live once and die twice? Or die once and live twice? There you go. Third thing. If we're truly a follower of Jesus, and we've done this thing, and that new life comes when a person turns from his sin, turns from his way of doing things, and turns to God, turns to Jesus, and gives his life to Christ. Listen, before we get to that third point, we'll make this clear. So, I think about the people in my life that I watched that happen to. Remember my cousin Lou. He is 13 months younger than me. He is a pastor up in Virginia today. When we were teenagers, I was on a spring break from college, and I went up to see him. He was living in Roanoke, Virginia at the time. And he had definitely departed down a different road. He was totally in the world. He was drinking, getting drunk, was just, his life was a different way. I shared the gospel with him. I the best way I knew how. I wasn't there to convert him. I wasn't there because I love this guy. I mean, we're best friends. He was my other brother. He had lived with us after his dad was killed in a tragic automobile accident, leaving my aunt with five kids. He came and lived with for several years. Every summer he would be with us, but he came and lived with us for 2 years. We're very close. So he had heard all this stuff. He had heard this stuff about following Jesus. But for years he had been taking a walk. He wasn't pursuing God. You see, it had never gone from here into here. You got me? And his life showed it. That trip, I don't know what I said on that trip. I really don't. We just hung out. I read my Bible while I was there. We talked about it. I talked about what Jesus was doing in my life. And I really can't say that I didn't cram a track in his face or I didn't lead him down the Roman road or anything. But he let me know later. He said, man, God did something to me while you were here. He said, I've invited Jesus into my heart. Lived twice. His life changed. His whole direction changed. He's been all over the world preaching the gospel. Now look at that and I say, God, you can really change a person's life. So then, when that change happens, you get to live it out every day according to God's circle of life. And I'm not talking about Lion King or anything like this, you know. When you say circle of life, I'm talking about the rhythm of God's life, what He wants for us. Do you know all of creation operates off of a rhythm that God has made? 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's all rhythm. The earth rotating around the sun, the earth rotating itself, the lunar action. It's all on a rhythm of things. And when you can either get in line with the creator of that rhythm, or you can be out of rhythm. You can be out of rhythm like me and Daniel up here. Those of you don't know Daniel. Daniel's not, has been away for a few weeks, but we are musically challenged sometime, and people say, I can't watch you because you get me off. I get off on the clapping and it doesn't work. And it's obvious. It's in the middle of this, I sang in a choir years ago. Believe it or not. I was actually okay as long as I stood by this one guy and I sang along with him. But he didn't show up 1 week for choir practice. And all of a sudden in the middle of the choir practice, the choir director stops and says, one of you is off. And they got that look. And he said, I'm going to be walking around listening and I'm trying to hide it. And then I got into the song and I was just singing it out, you know. And he says, stop, it's you. You got your choice. You can be in God's rhythm with Him or not. That's what the gospel is. It's His love affair with us. He sent His unique one and only Son to be our Savior. And we get the choice of choosing Him. Then we get the choice, like it says in Romans 8, the just shall live by faith. Those who have received Christ in their lives, we get the choice every day. Rick introduced this to us weeks ago. Think of the rhythm of our lives. We're going around in the circle. We're living our lives. Notice I'm going clockwise. If you're looking at it from up here. I'm living my life. I'm having these opportunities. Some of you are saying, you know, it's okay, man. Dusty, when I'm at church, when I'm with the believers, man, when I get to work, golly, when I'm at school, it's tough. It's tough. Those challenges, we all have them. And we're living our lives when we make obedient choices. Because He wants us to grow. What happens to us? We spiral up, don't we? We're closer to Him when we make those obedient choices. But what happens? What happens when we are disobedient? What happens to the spiral? It breaks. And we get to go that lap again. As God, as He shows us in our life, He wants us to draw close to Him. I want to ask you, are you growing in Him today? Or are you at a dead standstill? All right, number four. Jesus is coming back. You can take that to the bank. He came the first time, and if you don't believe all this stuff, just read the Old Testament. Just read all that stuff. Those prophecies where we have those books that we know validated when they were written and how long before any of this stuff ever came out. It's showing in detail how He would come the first time. Now, mount on top of that. And what did He do? He came. He's coming back again. You see, all these things that are happening. All I have to say about validation, about biblical prophecy, I have to say one word, and it collects together all that stuff. All I have to say is Israel. And unless you're an ignoramus, unless you're an idiot that will not read the newspaper, that will not read history, maybe you're a Holocaust denier, or one of those people like that that just denies facts. Look at the fact. You don't have to be a Christian to look at them. Look and see. There is one nation right now in the world, one group of people on whom it seems to be there's a blessing on them. Where'd that come from? Well, they happen to be God's chosen people. Well, I have to say, just look at it. Then look at the rest of what it says. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for His bride. He is coming back to set up His kingdom on this earth. Just taking a walk or following Jesus. The one we serve, He's got big plans for us. Number five. If you're going to follow Jesus, it requires action of you. Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Action. It means dying to your own choice. And it's not what would Jesus do if He were here. That's a little bit of a, there's a little error in that. But what is Jesus doing since He is here? What's He doing right now? How's He speaking to you? He requires action. You say you love Him. You say you belong to Him. Is there action that shows that? Miss Audrey asked me this question years ago. Said, you know, you talk about us going out on a date, but it's been a while since we've been out on one. Yet I look at your calendar, and I see your calendar filled with all sorts of appointments, with all sorts of people. I'm not good enough to be on your calendar. Ooh. Ooh. Y'all know what a fillet knife is? Man, I felt that thing slide into my side and run down my backbone, just waiting for the meat to fall. I think Jesus would ask the same question. You really are following. Show me the proof. Really. This isn't some kind of feel good, let's get together, rah, rah, kumbaya around the fire, and then go out and act like however we want. It's a 24/7 experience. It's belonging to Him. Being part of His plan in our lives. It's walking with Him. Number six. You can't say, you can't stay like you are and say that you're following Jesus. That's a lie. I put it in big letters. Lie. Paul said, toward the end of his life, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. At the end of his life, he was pressing. He was pressing in as the Lord was daily transforming. I want to say something to all of you today, especially younger people here. If you think the Christian life is boring, then you're not engaged. It is the most exciting thing ever in a person's life. To get up in the morning and say, okay, Lord, I'm yours. And let Him take you on His great adventure. You say, oh, I hear you talk about that stuff. Is it real? Man, I guarantee it's real. The most wonderful things in history. You look at people that were following Jesus and where the Lord led them. Wow. That's why we come to our seventh point. He's inviting you on this great adventure. Let me give you a little testimony in my own life. I became a Christian when I was 10 years old. I've been in church. My mom had me on cradle roll, all that stuff. I think Jesus came into my life at age 10. But wasn't sure of that. The recent death of Billy Graham reminded me of a message I heard I heard the tail end of a message on Friday night. I was 14 years old, and I woke up, and Dr. Graham was just getting to the, my parents were listening to his sermon. I don't know where he was, at what year that was. That would have been 68. I don't know where he was preaching then, but I remember hearing his message, and it said, it was simple. It said, "Have you said yes to Jesus?" I remember wondering at that time, "Lord, have I really engaged with you? Have I really done it? Have I sealed the deal?" Doubt began in my life. My 10th grade year, began school that summer, before 10th grade. It was awful. A lot of doubts about my life, doubts about Christianity, doubts about whether or not it was real, any of this stuff going on in my life. So during that year, I mean, my tongue got so sharp. I could cut people and no conscience about it. I was miserable at school. I was miserable in everything. That led on into the summer. We had a new youth minister came to our church, Ann Harden. Nickname was Kid. She's a great athlete. I remember her sharing with us one Sunday morning, standing up just back when we had Sunday school, the Sunday school assembly. We're all in, all the teenagers were in there together, and she told us her testimony. And the Holy Spirit just, I mean, ripped open my heart that day. You got problems. You need Jesus in your life. I was miserable. I went to this person. I went to that person. I was trying to get peace. I couldn't get peace inside of me. It just wasn't there. I needed peace. And finally, I was supposed to give my testimony one Sunday morning at church. It was Youth Sunday. Sunday morning, I was supposed to stand up there and tell them, "Oh, what a change Jesus had made in my life." I had no change to talk about. I couldn't see one. I called another girl in church and said, "Look, can you give yours?" Called her Saturday night. "Can you give yours in the morning? I'm not ready." Boy, I was not ready. That afternoon, went home. We had roast, carrots, and potatoes. I remember the day like it was yesterday. I went back to my room, and I got alone with God. And there in my room, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Sunday, July, and I know not all people can remember this. It's not necessary you remember the day, but I just happen to remember it. I remember the very hour. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, July 19, 1970, Jesus and I did business. He came into my life, and I've never been the same since. My life changed. Everything about me changed. Then about 20 years ago, I met a guy named Doug Dorman. We'd moved here to plant the church. I thought I understood prayer. I thought I understood that. But Doug started praying like this, like praying, and then you really expect it to start happening right then. And I started seeing that happen in my life and seeing the power of God operative in my life. I had heel spurs real bad. I had to get orthotics in my shoes, And Doug came up to me. We were walking in the office. He and I were on staff at Windsor Forest Church at the same time. He said, "Come here." He said, "Let me pray for you." Now, I'd been going to a doctor for a year for heel spur. He said, let me pray for you right now." He laid hands on me, prayed for me. The heel spurs went away. I've never had them again. God did it. Tim Snyder was in bed for 6 weeks. Couldn't eat. Trying to go back and forth to work. And we prayed over him. 2 hours later, he ate a big plate of spaghetti. Went back to work next morning. God did it. I'm telling you. Does God do that every day? Well, somewhere He's doing that every day. And I know there's a bunch laid up in heaven for me. I want to claim all of it and get all of it for now. How about you? Are you taking a walk or are you following Him? The stuff is real. John Wimber, who started the Vineyard Movement, he years ago, after he got saved, he went to his pastor one day and said, hey, preach, when are we going to start doing the stuff? He said, what are you talking about? That stuff in the Bible about those, you know, people being healed and seeing these things happen. He gave him some hokey answer, some cessationist answer that really didn't believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of God for today. I believe that following Jesus changes your life. Are you ready? I'm calling on you today. Calling on you. Where you sit, I say this all the time. I have to explain what the word means. God doesn't care how you genuflect. That's what you do, you know. You cross them up. Do you cross them down? You cross them sideways. You know. However you do it, God, it's God. He wants you to choose Him in His way today. And I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you. Some of you, you've walked with Jesus for a long time. Show me the fruit. What's going on? Where is it? Let's ask God for it. He's ready to give. Are we ready to receive? If I knew I was a thirsty man and the water truck was coming by, guess what would be out on the side of the road? Man, I ain't going to have a cup. I'm going to have a barrel out there. If I'm a thirsty man, because I want to have something to contain it in. That's our faith. That's our faith. Is He trusting? Let me tell you, you may not believe much in God, but let me tell you, He believes in you. That's why He died for you. What's it going to be? No, I'm not going to do that. That's going to open the altar. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to send you out. Now, I'm going to send you out with a song. All right? But before I play this song for you, and as soon as it starts, you can leave. You can get out of here. Some of you probably want to get out of my presence. But I'm just a delivery boy today. Okay? I'm calling on you today. Let's start following Him. Really following Him. Let me pray for you. And we'd sure like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring back when the song starts, you can bring those. But I'm sending you out. Let's pray. Before we pray, what has God spoken to you today? Lord, right now, I'm asking you for us as a body to truly begin to trust you and to place our hand in yours and let you lead us through life, through this great adventure. In the name of Jesus. Saddle up your horses.
I started out this morning in the usual way, chasing thoughts inside my head. All I had to do today, another time around the circle, trying to make it better than the last. I opened up the Bible and I read about you and me. They say we'd all been prisoners, and God's grace, it sets us free. And somewhere between the pages, it hit me like a lightning bolt. I saw a big frontier in front of me. blame.